Well, you heard about the long-winded preacher. His wife said, I'm going to give you a lifesaver. And when that lifesaver is gone, you quit preaching. He was doing real well. So he put the lifesaver in his mouth one Sunday and started preaching, and he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached. Finally, his wife got up and walked out mad. Got home and she said, what were you doing? He said, honey, I thought it was a lifesaver, but it was a button. You know, Christmas, Easter, amazingly special days. Terribly difficult to find something to preach on. And you say, what are you talking about? What haven't you heard? You know, what haven't you heard? But I dug up some stuff. And I want to really talk about Christ's attitude and the Christmas attitude. Philippians chapter 2, if you turn there with me. Verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In these verses, no matter what translation you have, we have what is called in the Greek the kenosis of Christ. The kenosis of Christ is simply this: Jesus emptied himself of everything, his glory. He couldn't do his deity because he was God. And you may say, how do you know he emptied himself of his glory? Because in John 17, he prays to the Father and says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had before the foundation of the earth. So Jesus comes to earth as a human being. They have another word in the Greek, and I'm not going to starve you with Greek roots this morning. They have another word in the Greek called the schema. In some of your Bibles, it will tell you that Jesus fashioned himself like a man. That word fashion comes from a very interesting saying, because what it says is that the king at one time, for a short period of time, will lay aside his kingly garments, his glorious robes, and put on himself the robe of a beggar. And when we begin to dig into the Christmas story, we begin to understand that Jesus laid aside all his glorious robes, everything he had in heaven, and took on himself the body of a human being. And it goes on to say he became obedient. Can we be honest enough to recognize going to the cross wasn't Jesus' favorite period in his life? You may look at me and say, oh man, don't blaspheme. I'm not. Seemed like I heard something. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. That's when he's in the garden sweating great drops of blood, like blood. The Bible says he had to take upon himself the body of a bond servant. Now, what is a bond servant? A bond servant is a slave who comes back to his master who says, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to be released in the year of Jubilee. I don't want to go, and I will stay with you. And the owner takes an awl, pokes a hole in his ear, puts an earring in there, and that's a sign that this man has become a bondservant to the master of the slaves. Now let's get down to some very interesting points here. Why did Jesus have to come in a human body? Why would he have to come in a human body? Okay, look at me. How many of you realize a God can't die? Even though he came to earth as a baby, and even though he emptied himself of his glory, he was still God. He never left his deity. And gods don't die. He had to take on the body of a human being so that he could die on that cross for our sins. Because without that, we'd still be in our sins. There's coming a time, no matter what your theology is, or no matter what your end time vision is, that things are going to change. There's going to come from heaven one that is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. The Bible says here, therefore, because he did all these things, he emptied himself, he became obedient to death, he did not think something was to be held on to, that God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow on earth and under the earth and up in the heavens. Every knee will bow and confess the glory of God that Jesus is Lord. How many have ever seen the commercial for Fram oil filters? You say, what in the world does that got to do with anything? I don't know, but it sounds good. They take these oil filters and they go to the garage and they change their oil. And the old guy who's charging extra for it looks at the customer and says, well, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You can pay me now for the oil filter, or you can pay me down the road for a new motor. There's something very interesting with eternity. And that thing that's interesting with eternity is people who said, I'll never name the name of Jesus, I'll never bow my knee, I will never do this, I will never do that, will. They will. We're either going to do it now or we're going to do it later. And there comes a point that we have to look at things a little bit differently. And that little bit differently is that no matter where you go, what you believe, what do you think about God, the eternal is already here. It's always here. And you cannot go through this life or any other life or eternal life without realizing there's the eternal. Because you may ignore God, you may walk away from God, you may want nothing to do with God, but someday you're going to meet the eternal face to face. Amen? And so it's a lot easier and a lot more comfortable to do it now. You may say, Pastor, I know you're an evangelist, and I know you got this, and I know you this, and I know you're something else. Can I tell you what I am? I'm nuts about Jesus. Amen. I've been sleeping on the couch because we got how many grandkids? Five here? Where are the little runts? So Grandpa gets the couch. And I've been laying on that couch, and it's crazy. I'm awake, wide awake, ready to watch Fox News at 3:30 in the morning. And so here's what I've been doing. I came close enough to checking out to realize God needs to do a little work in me. So every night, every morning, I just ask God for a new heart. I ask God for new kidneys. Why not? Because there comes a time when we can't do things on our own. But we come to a place where we realize we are not temporary beings. Even though this body dies, even though it's dust to dust and ashes to ashes, earth to earth, you are eternal. You live eternally. And you may say, well, what if I don't know God? You're still going to live eternally. The only difference is you choose your destination, where you're going to live it. You pick up, you look around, you begin to deal with things. You take time each day to get in this word and study what God has to say to you. And if after reading the New Testament, you can say, I don't believe in God, I'll shake your hand. You say, what are you talking about? You can't read that without believing in God. It's impossible. You can't do it. You may look at me and say, but Pastor, you don't know, this happened, and that happened, something else happened. So what? Let me ask you a question. What in your life right now, or has been, is worth going to hell over? You say, what does that got to do with Christmas? It's got everything to do with Christmas. Jesus came and died for us so we wouldn't go there. And regardless of what anybody says, it's reality. In the Bible, in the scripture, Jesus talked about not going to hell more times than he talked about going to heaven. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Satan runs and hides at the name of Jesus. Lives are saved. People are spared. People are freed. People are delivered through the name of Jesus Christ. And we talked about it last week. What does it mean? Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means master. Christ means anointed one or Messiah. Jesus means Savior. Put it together. Why? Because God looked down from heaven, saw people that were hopeless. Hopeless. And said, I'm going to intervene. There's one thing that God can't do, and that's turn his back on the cries of people who are asking him to intervene. Go back to the Egypt. How'd that all get started? The people started murmuring and complaining and crying out to God for a deliverer. He gave them Moses. We said last week, we went through the dark ages. We come to the book, through the book of Malachi. We come to Matthew, and we run in headlong into John the Baptist. And what is John the Baptist doing? He's responding to the Lord who sent him out simply because it was time to have people come to him. Time. I want you to understand something. You did not come to Christ because you loved him. How many believe that? You came to Christ because he loves you. And after getting to know Christ, we fell in love with him. But it's the reality. We came to him because he loved us. And he laid down the groundwork for faith. Therefore, we come to a place of humility. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you or raise you up in due time. I have nothing on my own to offer you. I have everything in his name to offer you. Everything. Praise God. I want you to have the greatest Christmas you've ever had. It can only happen one way. That says Jesus Christ is the center of your get-together today and tomorrow. We just keep going.